Yeah. It just seemed like a week or so ago, amen? But if you missed it, guys, never miss what God is doing at Living Hope Baptist Church. For a church this size to have a praise team and band like that is simply astounding. And we see the Lord lifting up some of these young people and these young voices. And we have quite a few actual out front voices of our singers. I come to you this morning saying grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we begin our new series, Living a Life of Significance. And we will spend most of this year in the book of Joshua. Most of this year in the book of Joshua. And so I want you to get used to that. Amen? Amen. We're going to learn all about living the life of significance. So if you would, please turn in the Word of God. And by the way, if you have it, if you have God's Word, whether in digital or printed format, please hold it up all over the sanctuary. It can be in your cell phone, whatever. And amen. Please turn to Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Now we are in unusual territory this morning because normally we close the outside doors because the heat of the flames of Hades itself is right outside there. And so we don't have the air conditioners or the fans on. Is there anybody here that is warm right now before I continue? Can we get along where we're at right now? All right, if I get warm, because it's usually warmer up here, I will say turn on the fans at least. Get some air moving. Amen? Okay. So we are in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And if you are there, please say amen. Amen. You know, the book of Joshua is about a life of victory. But it's also about, Joshua is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Christian life as well. The name Jesus in the New Testament is actually the Greek word Yeshua, which means salvation. Joshua is the Hebrew word form of that word. It is we write it and look at it as Joshua, but it is actually pronounced exactly the same as Yeshua. It's an amazing concept that God has shown His salvation through His works and through His word. Amen? And so as we continue this study, just keep that in your mind. Now, if you are visiting us here today, or you're watching on the internet, we do not want to make you feel like we are going to trip you up, or trick you, or do use some kind of subverted means, or some kind of trickery, or sleight of hand about what we do here at Living Hope Church. At Living Hope Baptist Church, we have one concept in our mind, and that is to bring the world to salvation by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you came here today not knowing Jesus Christ as Savior, if you are watching on the internet or watching a DVD or listening to an audio CD today and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, our sole purpose is to declare the truth of the gospel, that God loves you, that God has a purpose for your life. He wants you to be significant in your life. He wants you to have a life of victory. He wants you to be prosperous. Now bear in mind that we are definitely not a name it and claim it philosophy church. Amen? Amen. When we say victory, we mean victory in the Lord's plan. Amen. Prosperous in the Lord's plan. The Lord may for a season have us in certain places. Amen? Amen. But we are to be victorious in the Lord. This series' first message today is called Commissioned. But I tried everything I could. I could not get part one into one week. So we're going to have part one A this week and part one B next week. There are actually 4 points in this two-part message. We will cover one of them today. And I want you to know that the book of Joshua is not just history, but God's plan for you to live the significant life. In this series, we will cross swollen rivers. We'll watch walls fall down at the shout of victory. We will see armies scattered by God's people. And we'll realize that this magnificent book is God's revelation of what He will do for us. It's what God will do. It's what He has already done for us. The book of Joshua is the first of the historical books in Scripture. It goes Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Then it goes 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. These are the historical works of God about the journey of His people. Reading from the Word of God. If you were there, we're going to read all the way through this passage. If you're there, please say, Amen. Amen. It is on the screen, but I would just admonish you this week and next week and the following week, read these 9 verses over and over again. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, at the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. Isn't that good? Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And now comes our passage for this year. You know, our key point for this entire year is the battle belongs to who, church? The battle is the Lord's. I want you to live with that in your heart all year. Now listen to these words. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. May the Lord add His blessing upon His words. Friends, we are to look for the truth of God's Word in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. If you look on the screen, you should be able to see 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. It says, Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Listen to me. The entire Word of God has been written for you. The entire Word of God is for the revelation of God to His people and to the people of the world. In Genesis chapter 1, chapters 1 and 2, actually, we see that in the beginning God created everything, and it was what? Very good. God said it was very good. We see in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, that God makes everything very good again. Amen? In chapter 3 of Genesis, man messes up and becomes separated from God. And the rest of the Bible is God's love letter to us, to draw us back to Himself. Your Lord loves you. Your Lord seeks you. It's not that you have to go looking for the Lord. Psalm 139 says, whenever you rise up in the morning or go to bed at night or you go to the left or to your right, Thou art with me. The Lord is wherever you are, friends. Every Christian is to live a victorious life. Every Christian is to be an overcomer. Listen, it is not in God's plan that you should fail. I want you to change your mindset this year. You may be a ditch digger. You may be a programmer. You may have a wonderful singing voice. You may not have a wonderful singing voice. You may serve the Lord on the praise team. You may serve the Lord as a greeter. You may serve the Lord by sitting in the congregation and being an encouragement to your pastor. Here's what I want you to understand this day. It is not about what you do. It is not about what the Lord has mandated that you do in your life. It is all about who you are. And who are you? If you are redeemed of God, if you have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that means that you are His. You are Christians. You are in Christ and Christ is in you. You are royalty. Royal blood flows through your body. Royal blood flows through your veins. When you walk before the throne of God, angels bow down. Because royalty is in the house. When you walk out these doors and you declare the name of Jesus Christ, every demon in Broward County quakes in his boots. Never forget who you are. And if you are not living the significant life, I want you to know that you are living far, far, far beneath what God has purposed for your life. You are to be significant where God has placed you. If we look at the Apostle Paul, it's easy to think that the Apostle Paul was this great man of God, this shining example to the world. But many of his books were written while he was in prison, chained to a Roman soldier. I can imagine how that conversation went. Who was chained to who? I can picture it as the Roman soldier stood there, that the Apostle Paul would go, "Hey, you know what? Jesus died for you. And Jesus has determined that this day that you would be chained to me." You see, it's not the things that we do. It's not where we are. It's what God has done and who we are. Amen? Amen. Live the victorious life. Now listen, the Bible admits the possibility of failure. It admits that. But it never assumes the necessity of failure in the Christian life. It never assumes that you have to fail. You are to live the victorious of life. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we are to always triumph in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Now, I want you to get ready to write down your one point for the day. Amen? And you'll have an opportunity to write in all around that. So today's first point, we're going to get to the other three next week. We're going to talk today about God's commissioned possessions. Now, when you commission something to be done, you already assume that's going to happen. Amen? And we're going to talk about today God's commissioned possessions for you. What God has already foreordained. What He has already said is there for you. Now, setting the stage, many of you know the story very well. The Israelites have left Egypt after being in bondage and have been in the wilderness for 40 years on their way to Canaan, also called what, church? The promised land. Amen. See, I'm going to get you guys involved in this. Don't doze off on me. Listen, we have all had different types of wilderness experiences in our lives. Amen. Have you had a wilderness experience in your life? You may be going through that wilderness experience today. I want you to know the Lord is with you. I want you to know the Lord has a plan for you. Coming out of Egypt into the promised land is a picture of salvation, friends. Now listen, we all know this. When someone gets saved, when someone gets redeemed, when someone receives the Lord Jesus Christ, we all know that they're not there yet. Amen? The journey is just what? It has just begun. It has just started. We all know that this is the transition period of being saved into the Christian life. We all have that. And we all know that we don't become victorious overnight. However, folks, listen to me. There are some Christians, there are some folks that remain in the wilderness far longer than the transition from an insignificant to a significant life should take. There are some Christians that stay in the wilderness far too long in their life. Now, it's all right to be in wilderness for a season. It's all right to be there a little while when you first become saved. But friends, there comes a time when you are no longer a babe in Christ. There comes a time when you are no longer to drink the milk, but you are to eat the meat. That you are to live the significant life. And believers in Jesus Christ that stay way too long in the wilderness, the believers in Jesus Christ that live way too long with worldly living, are actually living as carnal Christians. Carnal Christians. That's okay. That's not that bad. I'll get to serving the Lord soon. I have some unresolved things to take care of. Don't live as carnal Christians. Do not live in the flesh. Do not live in the world. These types of Christians, the ones that stay in the wilderness too long, are the Christians that have no victories, they have no joy, they have no fruit of the Spirit in Jesus Christ. Meaning that there are no accomplishments, there are no crowns to point to or to lay at Christ's feet when we get to heaven. I don't know about you, I don't want to get there with a paper hat. And all God's people said,
amen.
Listen, friends, these are the type of Christians that have come out of Egypt but have never actually entered into Canaan, the promised land. Now, Canaan, in the Bible, is a land of victory. Canaan is a land of peace. But friends, don't get your theology all mixed up here. There are some pastors that totally miss the theological point of the land of Canaan. Canaan is not heaven. The promised land is not heaven. I see I got a bunch of blank looks there. Am I the only one here? Wait a minute, is this thing on? I figured I'd get at least one what out of that. Listen, you want to know why Canaan is not heaven? Say amen.
Amen.
There was warfare in Canaan. There is no warfare in heaven.
Amen.
The Israelites went into Canaan at times and they came back out of Canaan at times. In other words, they went into the promised land and they came out of the promised land. But friends, once you get to the final heaven, amen, hallelujah, we are there to stay, folks.
Amen.
We are there for all of eternity. You know what? There were giants and there were failures in the promised land, in the land of Canaan. But there will be no failures in heaven. Revelation 21:4 tells us that in heaven that there are no tears. There is no sorrow. There is no pain. There is no defeat. Why? Because all of the former things have passed away. And all God's people said. This is so important. Just read the Bible and you will see that the Hebrew people, the Israelites, that pain and sorrow abounded in the promised land. They had some terrible times. So Canaan is not a picture of heaven. But it is a picture of God's commission for the believer to live a life of significance. I'm going to say that one more time. I don't think you guys got it. It is a picture of God's commission for you to live a life of significance. So the Israelites were commissioned and released from slavery to pay Pharaoh in Egypt, and they were released and commissioned to freedom in the Promised Land. But they have been released from this wilderness life to some refreshment as well. Don't you like refreshing things? You know, I was we had a neighbor back in Louisiana, and if you know anything about Louisiana, those Cajun people, man, they love fishing, they love to go shrimping, and I had brought some cold drinks. We went out with my neighbor. He had a boat. We were going out shrimping out in the Lake Pontchartrain. Back when you could go shrimping in Lake Pontchartrain. And we got out there. And I thought I had brought enough stuff to drink and stuff like that. But it wasn't just Louisiana hot that day. It was Africa hot that day. The sun was just pouring down. And all of a sudden, Jay opened up his cooler. And he pulled out a bag of ice cold, crisp, full grapes. And he popped them in his mouth. He said, "You want to try one?" It was the most refreshing thing I've ever eaten in my life. Prepared by God. Amen? And we all want refreshment in our life. Remember, they've been in the desert for 40 years and they've been eating one thing. What did the Israelites eat in the desert for 40 years?
Manna.
By the way, just so you guys know, we're going to talk about this in depth in a couple of weeks. But the word manna is how we pronounce it. However, the word manna that you can get tired of if you have too much of it is actually spelled in Hebrew, M M-A-N. Don't go there, ladies. Don't go there. But anyway, they've been eating one thing for 40 years. Excuse me. How many meals a day did they eat manna?
Three.
All of them, exactly. Three meals a day. How many days a week did they eat manna?
Seven.
How many weeks a year did they eat manna? How many years did they eat manna? Friends, that is 43,800 meals of manna. You never had to say, what's for supper? And they have had it up to here in manna. In fact, in Numbers 21:5 says that they loathed this manna. Kind of can't blame them, amen? They wanted something fresh. They wanted some refreshment. But looking closer, and this is important, when they said that they loathed that, what they're actually saying is they loathed God's provision. Who provided the manna for them? Was God faithful in providing the manna? Was it there every single day? Was it there every single week? Was it there every single year? They loathed God's provision. God had determined that this was where He wanted them. He had provided for them the manna as well as the water in the desert. Let's just set that one aside for a while. And I know that Moses sinned and he couldn't enter the promised land, you know, because God had told him to speak to the rock. But he got so aggravated by the people of Israel that he hit the rock. And the water came out. So Moses couldn't go into the promised land. But here, can I just share this with you? If you read all of those stories about that journey, if it had been the prophet Larry putting up with that, and the whining and the griping and the complaining, the word of God would have read, then the prophet Larry did take his staff and smite the children of Israel mightily about the head and shoulders. And all God's people said, amen. Just so you guys know, you're not like that. You guys are the biggest blessing you could ever imagine. I've said it many times. Miss Ruth Ann and I have never dreamed this big. But listen, they loathe God's provision, but refreshment waits them in the promised land. Why? Because the promised land was a land of luscious grapes and pomegranates and other fruit. Promised land was a land of milk and honey. Canaan was a land of abundant refreshment. So spiritually speaking, let me just ask you, don't you want to be refreshed spiritually in your life? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you bored with what you may perceive as the insignificant Christian life? Got quiet in here. God has not called you into insignificance. God is already raising up these other young people in our praise team and band. You know, when I see that we have a praise team and band like this, and then we have young singers like Marsha and anybody younger than me really, but and Hallie, and we see these young singers just coming out. They've got these out front voices. God has provided for this church. God has provided for us. You know, I know folks who've had just enough religion to make them miserable. They've had just enough church. They've come out of Egypt, but they've never entered into the promised land. And they need refreshment. And they need rest as well. And the book of Hebrews calls the promised land a land of rest as well. Now rest, I want to clear this up. I see you guys getting all excited about rest. And my wife says, rest does not mean rest from work. Scripturally, it means to rest while you work. And who do we rest in? We rest in the Lord. We rest in the Lord while we work. In other words, it's the difference between burning the wick and burning the oil. Because a Christian's life is to be marked by rest, the believer's rest. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. He will give us rest. Before the Hebrews entered Canaan, they knew no rest. Why? They've been in the wilderness 40 years. 40 years! Can you imagine? Mrs. Moses, I told you, look at the map. You guys will get it in a minute. Friends, they knew every grain of sand by name. They had sat on every cactus in the Sinai desert wilderness. And Christians in the spiritual wilderness are exactly like that. Perhaps they've gone round and round and round to different churches. I don't like what this pastor says. Let me try this other church. I don't like the music here. Let me go to this other church. Listen, God puts everything He needs in a specific church. Everything. He has the missionaries that He wants coming out of this church. He has the singers and the praise leaders He wants coming out of this church. He has the greeters. He has the preachers that are being raised up in this church. You are here for a reason. You are here for a purpose. And the purpose is determined by God. Amen? Amen. That is why you are here. And people find no rest for the soul. Or maybe they haven't grown in Christ. Christians that don't grow in Christ and don't know His rest in their souls. Listen, when you have the peace of Christ in your heart, you can get through anything. Amen? Amen. You can get through absolutely anything. So friends, just relax in the arm of Christ and find the believer's rest. That's what the land of Canaan pictures. In spite of difficulties, in spite of the journey, in spite of the wilderness, in spite of the giants and the battles, rest in the Lord. You know, you got to look at what the reality of what was going on in the book of Joshua. In Numbers 13, Joshua and Caleb had told them, they had sent spies into the land of Canaan, and Joshua and Caleb came back and said, they told them what a wonderful land Canaan was. They carried a thing of grapes that it took two men to carry. So Joshua and Caleb had told them how wonderful it was going to be. Moses had told them how wonderful the promised land was going to be. The Lord had revealed to them, as a people, how wonderful the land of Canaan was going to be. But in Numbers 14, the people were afraid of the giants and refused to go. Friends, we are looking for new property. And we're looking for it in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And you know what? What we do know is while we're looking for our new property, the battle is not ours. The battle is?
The Lord's.
The Lord's. Amen. So the Israelites have been in the wilderness for 40 years. Can you imagine the conversations out there? Joshua and Caleb must have said many, many times, I told you, let's go into the land of Canaan. Or, oh, it's tough now, but wait till we get to the promised land. Wait till we get to the promised land. I can't wait. Meanwhile, I'm sure the other side of the conversation, when are we there? Are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. Do you see the milk and honey? Or do you still see manna? Do you still see plain water? Do you not still see the cactus and the desert? We will be there when the Lord brings us there. The people had heard all about it many times, but they had not yet experienced it. What's the point? What is the point I'm trying to get at? Well, let me ask this, and be careful how you answer. Pray about this before you answer out loud. Aren't you just tired of just listening to sermons? Aren't you tired of just listening to sermons, but that's it? You come to listen, you leave, and now what? May I ask, wouldn't you like for God's plan to be an actual reality in your life? Amen. Amen. Young men, young women, mature men, mature women, the young, the old, wouldn't you like for God's plan to be an actual reality in your life? To be significant, because here's the deal. You cannot watch sermons on TV, nor can you listen to messages at conferences or YouTube or whatever. You cannot come and listen to my messages week after week. You cannot read God's sermons directly from His Word year after year after year with no intention of ever applying them in your life. Got quiet in here. Guys, you have to apply what the Word of God has called you to do. And God has called for you to be significant. He's called for that. God's call for your plan of significance cannot be something that you hear about. Guys, you need to turn doctrine into reality. You need to turn preaching into personal experience. And you do that by putting your faith into action. Your faith into action. And here's the key to remember. God has already given you victory. And God has already commissioned you to take possession of His plan for your Canaan. Now, I'm not talking once again by some naming and claiming theology. We don't do that here. The problem you have is you have not taken possession of what God has already commissioned in your life. God's already given it to you. Well, preacher, what is this key that you just mentioned a moment ago? I'm so glad you asked. I see that we're running a few minutes late. Get over it. And all God's people said, amen. Look at verse 3 in your Bibles. If you're there, please say amen. Amen. This is so good. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Now notice, they're not there yet. They're still out in the desert. Look at that. God says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said. That word said implies the promise that I have said to Moses. What does it not say? It doesn't say, I'm going to give it to you. It doesn't say, when you get there. God says, I have already given it to you. It's yours, now go and take it. The provision is already there. I've said it many times. What is the key to understanding the Bible? Jesus Christ. It's all about Christ. It's all about God's plan of redemption for our lives. If you read your Bible and you don't see Christ, you're reading your Bible incorrectly. See, God has provided provision for you. If you do not have Christ in your life yet, God has already done the finished work of Jesus Christ. You simply need to receive it. It's already yours for the taking. Simply receive Jesus Christ as Lord. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He bowed His head and He said, it is finished. Meaning paid in full. At that instant, the victory was won. Before He even went to the cross of Calvary, Jesus said, write this in your margin, in John chapter 12, verse 31. Now, the ruler of this world, who is that? Satan. The ruler of this world will be cast out. We have that promise that this is not the way the world is. It's not the way it's going to be. Why? Because God says He's already cast out. Jesus says He is already cast out. You may say, well, Pastor Larry, He certainly doesn't act like He's defeated. Here's why. He's defeated. He knows it. And He doesn't want you to realize it. He wants you to live a life of defeat. Satan wants you to forget who you are. Satan wants you to forget that God has already provided for you in your life. Satan wants you to forget that He is defeated and utterly defeated and cast out. But you are blessed beyond measure. That God's grace and mercy has flowed from heaven into your life. And all that you need to do is receive it. Because Jesus Christ, by the power of His redemptive death, has given you authority over all of the power of the enemy. And you now have the victory. You can say, Satan, I am not bound by your rules. Satan, you may use other people, but you're not using me. I declare victory in the name of the Lord. I've found far too many Christians. Amen. Hallelujah. I've found far too many Christians that don't pray for victory. They pray from victory. Because victory has already been assured in Christ, and the land of victory is yours. Canaan represents release, refreshment, rest, and reality. The promises of God are yours. The promised land is your promised land. God has a plan for you. But you're going to have to put your foot of faith upon the promise of God and say, this is mine, I claim it. You're going to have to say that again. You're going to have to put the foot of faith upon the promises of God and say, this is mine, I claim it. If you find an empty lot when you're out driving around, get out of your car and say, Lord, if this is your plan for Living Hope Baptist Church, based upon your promises, I claim it. Amen. If you are in a strip mall somewhere and you see a great big empty room, and I've done this a bunch of times, an empty store, say, Lord, I know this is a pagan area right here. But if your plan for us to be in this place, that's your promise, I claim it. I claim it for Living Hope Baptist Church. I claim this spot in this strip mall that's surrounded by pagan establishments so that as people go in and out of these establishments, they will see God's people going in and out of His house. They will see God's people praising and worshiping Him. They will see God's people handing out things to them as they go in and out of the stores that they will claim and see and learn the life of victory. I got all riled up there. Did you know that it's possible to have something and still not have it? Did you know that? We all live like that. Some of you have books in your library at home that you haven't read. Amen?
Yes.
Some of you have books on your iPhones that you haven't read. Amen? Some of you have Bibles on your iPhone that you haven't gotten around to opening up yet. I'm not going to ask for an amen on that one. Now I want to ask you a question. These books, whose book is it? It's yours. You paid for it. But it's not your book because you haven't taken possession of it. You haven't read it. You have not possessed what is yours. And I want to tell you that the devil does not want you to know that God has given you the land of the promised land. He doesn't want you to know that God has given you rest. Satan doesn't want you to know that God has given you refreshment. Satan doesn't want you to know the reality of his commission that he has already given you this victorious and significant life. Listen, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. You should see it up on the screen. As his divine power... Hang on, I'm going to turn to that passage. Turn in your Bibles. You may have put it away already. See, well, Pastor Larry got through that first point. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. If you're in a paper Bible and you're there, say amen. Yeah, see, it's taking a little slow. I'm going to do this to you all the time. Yeah, we got by that one point. Pastor Larry's preaching hard. I see we're about 8 minutes from the end of the sermon. Oh, man, he told me to turn to my Bible. If you're there, say amen. I'm going to read from the first verse. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power. See, I wanted to make sure we saw that verse before. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. He has already given it to us. Through what? The knowledge of Jesus Christ. Why? Because in Christ you are complete. You have everything that you need. One of these days, we are each of us in our own time and manner going to wake up to the reality of the Christian life and realize that we have been commissioned. Commissioned to do what? To take possession of what God has already given us. To take possession of what the life of victory that God has planned for us. Look up here, Christians. I'm almost done. Don't miss this. You are the King's kids. I'm going to say that again. You are the King's kids. And you have a mandate from God Almighty Himself to live the significant life. And that significance is your identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. And living in significance is simply the faith-filled life of walking on conquered land. And if you look at the screen in Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, we're going to look at this again. Why? Because God has said in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, Joshua 1, 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given you. As in already, as I said to Moses. Hebrews 11:30 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. We're going to talk about it in a few weeks, but God had already promised that it would. May I ask, as we begin this faith-filled journey, do you really believe? Do you really think about this deeply? That Satan has any significance, that the devil has any power or any ability to prevent you from receiving what God has already given you? Because if you think he does, your God is way too small. I serve a mighty God. I serve a God that when we sing here in a few moments, as we get ready to go home, he will open up the heavens. He will rain down his glory upon us. If we declare His holy name. You see, there are no walls in your life that Christ cannot overcome. Why? Because God wrote His love letter and He said so. Philippians 4:13 reads, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Friends, through Christ, you are significant. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Grace and peace be unto you, multiplied in your life from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
amen.
Every head bowed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.